Football Weekly is on the air.
Hi, I'm Hub Arkush, and along with Eric Edholm and Arthur Arkush, it is our great pleasure to bring you this week's edition of Pro Football Weekly on the radio, where every week we try and bring you everything you need to know both on and off the field about the National Football League.
The Browns do like Johnny Football after all, and the Buffalo Bills make the blockbuster trade of the first round.
The entire first round, it's all just ahead on Pro Football Weekly.
Pro Football Weekly is on the air!
Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Pro Football Weekly on the radio, a very special NFL College Draft edition of Pro Football Weekly. I am Hub Arkush, joined as I am each week by Eric Edholm of Shutdown Corner at YahooSports.com and Arthur Arkush from ChicagoFootball.com and USA Today Sports Weekly. And gentlemen, the NFL College Draft, we've got the first round in the books. We, of course, have to tape because we hit about 100 markets around the country, but we can give you everything in the first round, and it started off, well, I don't think too surprising for most.
With the first pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Jadeveon Clowney, defensive end, South Carolina.
And there we had it, guys. A little bit of the mystery gone. You know, with all the talk about the quarterbacks, there was never any doubt in my mind that it wasn't going to be a quarterback. But I know, Eric, as we got closer to that pick, some people thought maybe Khalil Mack was a better fit for the Texans in the end. I personally think they took the right guy.
Yeah, I don't worry so much about fit. They're going to figure out what to do with the most talented player in this draft. And, you know, they're going to be in their sub-defense two-thirds of the time anyway. So I'm not worried about what position Jadeveon Clowney will play. I'm worried about whether they can get the most out of him. And, you know, if they can, it's a home run pick. He's the most talented guy in this draft. That's the way I look at it. So they've got a great support system, a lot of guys who I think can push him in the right ways. And they look to trade down, set a really high mark for what they needed, didn't get that offer. And they stayed put and took the best player. That's pretty good in my book.
Well, and we know that the Texans, the Rams at 2, the Jaguars at 3, everybody was trying to trade down. Early, they couldn't get it done. Arthur, I think Greg Robinson out of Auburn was number 2 on everybody's board. And when you look at what the Rams have done now, Jake Long had a really nice bounce back season last year. He is one of the premier left tackles in football. Robinson projects there, but he'll have to stay on the right for now. They've got Roger Saffold back in the fold. Pretty clear what Jeff Fisher's going to do with that football team.
Yeah, no question. In that division, it's a pretty wise, way of building. Just be a strong physical team in the most physical division in football. I thought Greg Robinson was an obvious pick, but a terrific one. I know we'll get back to the Rams at 13 and they built on the other side of the trenches. So I think they're doing this the right way. It's a nice luxury to have. You go from, former all-pro left tackle, and you're able to grow into another one who has that type of potential.
Well, guys, we certainly had the Houston Texans and the St. Louis Rams go with the chalk, so to speak, but we got our first big surprise early as the Jacksonville Jaguars were up at number 3.
With the third pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Blake Bortles, quarterback, Central Florida.
You know, guys, for a minute there, I thought the commissioner was going to call him Blaine. And therein lies the interest in this pick, is I absolutely believe, Eric, that Blake Bortles had to be the first quarterback off the board. But why not here? There were better, safer picks. And yet, obviously, David Caldwell and Gus Bradley have a pretty clear idea of what they want to do.
Yeah, they're asking the fans to trust them on this one. This was their guy. I mean, Gus Bradley raved about Bortles at his pro day, which I just automatically took as a smokescreen, but turns out he was saying all the right things at the time. He actually did love the kid, and they sent their contingent out to the UCF pro day. They've been doing their homework on Bortles. I knew they liked him. I just didn't know they liked him at number 3. And as you mentioned earlier, trade down possibilities may have floated across. They may not have seen the guy they wanted. They may have feared another team moving up, but you know, Bortles was a guy I probably liked a little bit later in round 1. And, you know, they have a lot of draft picks, the Jaguars do, but they also have a lot of needs to fill. Quarterback, the biggest one. They just said, you know what, let's not mess around. Let's take our guy at 3. The only question is, does he play as a rookie? I wouldn't be shocked if Chad Henne's the guy for the first year. You know, they have a Carson Palmer-like setup where he has to sit a year before he plays.
Well, guys, we will get to our winners and losers, again, based on nothing but draft prospect. We won't know for a couple of years who the winners or losers are, but I can tell you right now, the biggest winner of round 1 for me is Ray Farmer, the new GM of the Cleveland Browns, who in his very first trip to the batter's box just kept hitting home runs. He's sitting there at 4. He finds the Buffalo Bills. willing to give him pick number 9 and their number 1 next year. I don't think the Bills are suddenly going to the Super Bowl. That should be at least in the top half of the draft. And Buffalo comes up, Arthur, and gets Sammy Watkins. Now, great to get Watkins at 4. He might have gone 2 or 3. Nice move by the Bills, but boy, it was rich.
It was rich, that's for sure, and I think you hit it on the head at the top. Does anyone think the Bills are going to the Super Bowl next year? Do they think they were one player away? That, I guess, is my only issue with this pick. I think it cost them too much. They're not a team that is quite ready yet. Sammy Watkins, I think most will agree, is the top wide receiver in the draft. We saw him go and get Mike Williams earlier in the offseason. Clearly, they are giving EJ Manuel, who they believe is the answer, all the pieces he needs, but Manuel's still a big question mark, too, so I'm just not sure that this is the type of move that puts them over the top instantly, as much as I really like Watkins.
You know, Eric, we all had to do a bunch of mock drafts. I did 4 of them, I believe, over the last few weeks, and in 3 of them, I had Khalil Mack with the Raiders at number 5. I think it's a great pick. Khalil Mack may be the best player in this draft. Again, a clear top 5 talent, and Reggie McKenzie got somebody to build his defense around.
I watched a lot of this kid play, and, you know, of course the Ohio State game, was one that brought, you know, his name into the focus, but he's been doing this for 4 years at Buffalo. He's been the best player in that conference for a long time. Remember, we had a Mac player go number 1 that last year. So, you know, it's a pretty good football conference, all things considered. And, you know, he's a great edge rusher. I was thinking offense with them the whole way, just considering what they did in free agency on the defensive side. But Mac is a multi-position guy, somebody you can build around. Makes some of their moves in the offseason look a lot better in comparison as a compliment. So, yeah, I really like this pick. I thought it was outstanding by Reggie McKenzie and company.
Yeah, and we do have to remember, we're not sure exactly how the brain trust is working in Oakland, but Dennis Allen made his bones as a young defensive coordinator, and he's in an absolute make-it year, and so he went out and got his potential anchor for that defense. Now, at number 6, Arthur, so far I've heard no reports of Tomas Dimitrov or Mike Smith pulling a hamstring, tearing a knee ligament, nothing like that racing to the podium, but we knew Jake Matthews was coming up next, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, you know, it's a safe pick. It's the right pick for the Falcons. We saw Matt Ryan just under constant duress last season, and the type of offense they want to be that, you know, relies on the passing game and Ryan and those explosive weapons out on the perimeter, they needed someone like this to help, you know, really stabilize an offensive line that just wasn't good enough last year. They needed to get tougher, and this is going to help in that respect as well.
All right, guys, lots of the first round to roll through, 26 more picks to be exact, a number more trades to talk about. We've got it all right here at Pro Football Week. Welcome back to Pro Football Weekly. I am Hub Arkish along with Eric Edholm and Arthur Arkish. We are rolling through the first round of the 2014 NFL College Draft. Some quick thoughts, early takes on what transpired in round 1. We are at pick number 7 where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Arthur, I thought made the predictable choice, made a good choice. They certainly could have used help on the offensive line. The top 2 tackles were off the board. They go for Mike Evans. How do you now defend the 6'5 Mike Evans and the 6'5 Vincent Jackson?
I love the pick. I guess they can try and ask NFC North opponents. Obviously, they were taking a page out of the, you know, the Bears formula and what made Josh McCown or helped Josh McCown be so successful last year with the Twin Towers. You're right, Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, just too much size to defend. It's going to be fantastic. What intrigued me about this pick is maybe Jason Light doesn't, I should say, has a little bit more sway than we thought. You know, Aaron Donald's on the board. You think maybe Lovey's going to handpick the first piece of his Tampa 2. But they go with, like you said, I thought the prudent move and perhaps the obvious move. But I just thought maybe Lovey was going to flex his muscles here.
Well, and I think we all thought that they would like Donald. But you got to remember that they've got one of the best 3 techniques right in the league right now who probably doesn't slide over to the anchor. So, you know, you look at number 8, and I've already complimented Ray Farmer. Let's do it some more. He got a 1 and a 4 next year for dropping back to the 9th spot. Now he wants to come up to the 8th spot, gives up just a 5 this year, and Eric gets the best cornerback on the board to pair with Joe Hayden.
Yeah, I mean, my 2 favorite corners in this draft, and maybe a 3rd one would be Bradley Roby, but I really like Kyle Fuller, and I really like Justin Gilbert. You throw in the fact that he's an ace returner. He was my number 10 player overall ranked, so you get him at number 8, you get the 2 picks in the 2015 draft, and we'll talk about that quarterback they got later, but I can't help but like it. I really do. And Ray Farmer, God bless him. I mean, he gets up to the plate and takes his cracks. And that's what you got to love about him if you're a Browns fan. He's been on the job, what, 10, 11 weeks. I assumed heading in that he would kind of play it safe with his first choice. Oh, boy, no. I mean, they went swinging, and I really can't blame for doing so.
Now, Arthur and I were talking a little bit about this on the way over to the show. Is you've got this weird swap at 8 and 9 where Cleveland and Minnesota are each moving one pick, obviously jockeying with each other. And what are they thinking? And obviously the Browns were afraid that the Vikings would take Gilbert. A lot of people thought the Vikings had to get a quarterback. But, Arthur, I'm going to venture a guess that there's a better chance that Hillary Clinton will ask Ted Cruz to be her running mate than there was that Mike Zimmer was going to take Johnny Manziel. I mean, it wasn't going to happen, you know. And Anthony Barr, just such an obvious pick once the Vikings were on the board.
Yeah, he's going to be a terrific fit in that Vikings defense that needed more playmakers, that, you know, the worst scoring defense in the league last year. And Zimmer needs those pieces. The blitzer, you know, for his aggressive defense, he needs guys who can really scream off the edge, like Barr, who definitely, you know, fits that mold and is really going to be what appears to be a cornerstone moving forward for Mike Zimmer. So I think it's a terrific pick. And I think they also had a good feeling that Cleveland, after going Barkevious Mingo last year and having a pretty solid defense, you know, up front, wasn't going to go in that direction.
Eric, the more folks I talk to, I can't find anybody who saw the Detroit Lions going Eric Ebron at number 10. I think what happened is they thought that Gilbert was going to be there because Lord knows they need help on the back seven. But I will tell you this, the more I think about this pick, the more I like it.
Especially when you think that Joe Lombardi, their offensive coordinator, came from New Orleans, where they had a certain guy by the name of Jimmy Graham. And if you can picture Graham or something sort of in that vein running in this offense with Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate, et cetera, and two pretty good running backs, by the way, I mean, it gets you excited, and it obviously makes you think how much they're trying to support Matthew Stafford. I mean, he's had a few steps back in his development, but, you know, Ebron, I don't put him quite in that Vernon Davis category athletically, but he's in that vein, and I really like that from that perspective. Also, a pretty good day for him. He proposed to his girlfriend. She did say yes. So all in all, I think he'll remember May 8th when it all is said and done.
Well, and again, what's so interesting about this is we've talked about these matchup situations. You've got Calvin Johnson, the best wide receiver in the world. I'm not as high as on Golden Tate as others are. But at the end of the day, Ebron is really a bulked up wide receiver. And so now you got to cover him with a safety because you've got to cover, you know, Johnson and Tate on each side. So yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch. Now at number 11, just blood and guts football. Ken Wisenhunt said, we're going to get nasty, and Taylor Lewan comes off the board, the third offensive tackle, Arthur, in the first 11 picks.
And he replaces nasty in Dave Stewart, who, you know, was a terrific right tackle for the Titans for a long time. You figure Lewan eventually projects to the left side. They still got a pretty good one there in Michael Ruse, obviously, but a pick that I love. You saw the Texans, you know, the cream of the crop, at least in terms of talent in the South still, I believe. They've got J.J. Watt. They've got Jadeveon Clowney now. Well, look, the Titans are going to counter with Chance Warmack last year, Taylor Lewan this year. They're going to be really nasty blood and guts football, like you said, up front, and I think it's the right formula.
Eric, early Thursday and all day leading up to that first round, I kept hearing that there's trade rumors. The New York Jets are working the phones. The Philadelphia Eagles are working the phones. And supposedly a lot of these teams had identified Odell Beckham Jr. because really up until the last week or so looked like the 20s. Well, the New York Giants didn't think so. They pluck him at number 12.
Yeah, these two picks are really interesting with Lewan at 11 and Beckham at 12. You know, a lot of people had Lewan to the Giants, thought he might be a fit there. But, you know, they were going to help out Eli Manning one way or another. And I think they may have been a little surprised that Lewan was the pick, considering, as Arthur said, you know, they've got Michael Ower, they've got Chance Warmack, Andy LaVitra, et cetera. But they had a pretty good plan B, and that was Beckham, who I think if he's an inch or two taller, we're probably comparing him to Sammy Watkins and saying, is he the best receiver in this draft, at least, you know, in terms of that X spot. So I really like the kid. You know, I mean, his hands were only second to Jarvis Landry and probably college football, his teammate, but he made some exceptional plays. And as you open up the playbook for him, which they didn't do a lot of the times at LSU, he could put up some really nice numbers next to Victor Cruz.
All right, at 13 and 14, it got very interesting. A little point-counterpoint here. We'll have that for you and the rest of the first round in just a moment. We roll on through the first round of the 2014 NFL College Draft. Hub Arkish, Arthur Arkish, Eric Edholm bringing you the show this week. Now, I've already anointed the Cleveland Browns as one of the big winners. The St. Louis Rams came in loaded for bear. They had the second pick in the first round and the 13th, and loaded for bear may be a little bit of a pun here because everybody had the Chicago Bears at 14 taking Aaron Donald. Nobody had the Rams at 13 taking Aaron Donald, and yet, Eric, that's exactly what they did.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, poor NFC West quarterbacks having to face these defenses. It's insane. I mean, it's crazy to think that, in this division. You know, the Rams might be the fourth best team or certainly the third, and yet they have this defensive line that's capable of just manhandling people. And you start thinking about what they can roll out there with, you know, Robert Quinn and Chris Long, Alex Carrington they picked up in the offseason, Michael Brocker's the first round pick, Kendall Langford. I mean, it's just ridiculous what they can do. And yet, in theory, they did need a three technique, and so he's going to roll in there, play 40 snaps a game, and could probably dominate those one-on-one matchups that he's be sure to get.
And let's not forget, they've also already added possibly the best left tackle prospect in the last 5, 6, 7 years. So a pretty good night for Les Snead and Jeff Fisher. Now, Arthur, maybe I'm giving too much credit here. Maybe I'm dead wrong. But I firmly believe at 14 that had Aaron Donald been there, the Bears were still taking Kyle Fuller because he's a pretty nice fit for what they want to do, too.
Yeah, and to hear Emery talk about it last night on Thursday night in his press conference, I mean, he was just over the moon that they had an opportunity to get Kyle Fuller. They love his versatility. They love his physicality. He's going to have the luxury of learning behind a couple of Pro Bowlers and Charles Tillman and Tim Jennings, of course. He'll start out in the slot, an area in the division where you're going to see plenty of, you know, Randall Cobb and Calvin Johnson. So this move made a lot of sense. I think some Bears fans are a little bit concerned because the safety position remained unaddressed as we headed into Friday morning. But like I said, this pick definitely makes a lot of sense. Kyle Fuller has a lot of upside and will look to have a really nice career.
You know, guys, Kevin Colbert at one point was considered one of the draft gurus. He strung together a bunch of good drafts for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's been a little leaner in recent years. Now, he made a real logical pick, a nice need pick, got a great athlete at 15 in Ryan Shazier. But Shazier ahead of C.J. Mosley, Eric, I don't know about that.
Well, I think they're thinking in terms of speed. And when we watch the Steelers' defense down the stretch this season, they just look kind of old and slow. And from what I've been able to gather, talking to a few people Friday morning in Pittsburgh, I think they're going to move Lawrence Timmons to that buck linebacker spot. Vince Williams, a kid who was a sixth-round pick a year ago, played very well. He was a surprise. So he'll be the two-down guy. Then you have Shazier playing a variety of roles. He's going to have three-down utility. He's going to play special teams. So, yeah, it makes more sense the more I sort of sat back and thought about this one.
All right, now Eric and Arthur and I have worked together for quite a while, and I'm sure Eric and Arthur will tell you that they could count on one hand. They probably don't even need a hand to count the times that I've complimented Jerry Jones in the last decade or so. But I got to tell you, I applaud him for what he did in the first round. Zach Martin was arguably the best player on the board, Arthur, at a position of absolute need for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, they've got Tyron Smith and they drafted Frederick, but the offensive line has still been a sieve, you know, and they need defense, they need pass rush, but those guys were gone. And I thought in a rare show of discipline that Jerry Jones took the right player for his football team at this time.
I'm with you 100%. First of all, I'm glad you are now on record as complimenting Jerry Jones, but I just think it was too logical not to do, and that therefore was almost couldn't have been the Jerry Jones pick because it was so logical. But look, Tony Romo is going to be 34. He's got the huge contract. He broke down a little bit last year. He's coming off the back surgery. He's had issues in the past. And like you said, you put him with Tyron Smith and Travis Frederick in the middle, and they are building something really nice, a lot of young, impressive linemen up front.
All right, now here is the one thing that concerns me about the Chicago Bears leaving C.J. Mosley for Kyle Fuller and the Pittsburgh Steelers taking Ryan Shazier over C.J. Mosley. The Wizard of Oz steps up at 17. Now, C.J. Mosley had some medicals on him, and I know some teams he couldn't pass their physical. But this is the guy who ignored the warts on Ray Lewis. This is the guy who ignored the warts on Terrell Suggs. And now C.J. Mosley, Eric, is a Baltimore Raven.
This is such an Ozzie Newsome pick. I mean, not just the Alabama connection, but just sitting there saying, well, you know what? We've got to take this player because we have him rated so high. And they probably just didn't get the right trade-down offer. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I would have liked to see them, you know, maybe address another position or two at some point. We'll have to see the whole picture with him. But as far as top picks go, even with the injury concern, the shoulder, C.J. Mosley is a darn good football player. I had him ranked in my top 10. I can't wait to see what he does in this defense.
And very quickly, Arthur, at 18, Calvin Pryor to the New York Jets and Rex Ryan, a typical Rex Ryan pick and a guy who's going to play in the box. And I almost felt like Buddy was up there picking Doug Plank.
He certainly has that physicality that, you know, you see in any Ryan defense. He's going to be a great fit. You know, I like Calvin Pryor a lot. I do sort of wonder, with some pretty impressive wide receiver talent still on the board, if they wouldn't have been better served to continue helping out Geno, Mike Vick, whoever it's going to be, and getting a running mate for Eric Decker. But I do like Calvin Pryor. He does look like a New York Jet.
All right, we got a break very quickly. But the first big shocker of the first round is coming. It happened at 19. Stay right where you are. We've got it for you in just a moment on Pro Football Weekly.
Football Weekly is on the air.
Yes, we are. We are taking you through the first round of the 2014 NFL College Draft. In order to hit our roughly 100-plus affiliates around the country, we do need the tape at the end of each week because the show airs at different times over the weekend. So we've got the first round for you this week. Be sure and join us next weekend as we cover the entire seven rounds of the NFL Draft. But right now, we are at number 19. And this doesn't go in the Hall of Fame of shockers. I mean, you know, the kid's a good football player. But when the Dolphins stepped up at number 19 and said, we are going strictly need with the guy who we think is the best guy available, but who I didn't see as a first-round pick on any board, and tab Juwan James, this was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, a little bit of a reach here for sure. Juwan James out of Tennessee, you know, certainly held his own against some really good competition, and I'm sure that, you know, the new regime there in Miami liked that and appreciated that. But like you said, I think the value may not have been as good as you would hope for. However, it was one of the worst-kept secrets in the draft that the Dolphins needed to overhaul their offensive line. They did accomplish that, and they did appear to get a good good compliment to Brandon Albert on the left side.
Well, and right on the heels of that, Eric, I think Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton stepped up and changed the entire tone of the last third of the round because they had identified Brandon Cooks. I think they knew the Eagles were going to take him at 22. I think we all thought that was going to happen. So they work out a deal with the Arizona Cardinals to be able to come up to 20, and they tab what I think is going to be their new version of Darren Sproles from a different position.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I mean, he can catch the ball behind the line of scrimmage and take it 40 yards. That's what's great about Cook. And I love that Marcus Wheaton leaves and he puts up even bigger numbers last year. So, you know, he can handle, prime coverage. And I think with Jimmy Graham's question on his contract, you need another weapon in that offense. I like the pick. I just question whether the Saints didn't offer the Dolphins the same thing, why the Dolphins wouldn't have considered moving down. I don't know anything of whether they did, but that's something that you have to consider, I think.
All right, now at 21, this is an interesting pick for a number of reasons. First of all, a really great football player. All the Alabama kids seem to have medicals on them. Some of them couldn't pass physicals. Ha ha, Clinton Dix, going into the process, was a top 12, top 14 type prospect. Prior at 18, Clinton Dix at 21, this is probably where these guys fit, but you've got the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears in the same division, both teams with screaming needs at safety. The Bears take a corner, and then the Packers take the safety that a lot of Bears fans wanted the Bears to take. So, Arthur, not only interesting pick for the Green Bay Packers, but just adds to the drama we're going to see the next few years of the oldest rivalry in the NFL.
Yeah, there's no question. These two names will be tied together for quite some time, and I love the pick for the Packers. I mean, anyone who watched them play consistently last year saw that there was a lack of range and even more so a lack of ball skills and playmaking ability on the back end of their defense. So I think that you pair Clinton Dix with Morgan Burnett, hopefully you get a bounce back season from Burnett, and I think the Packers defense all of a sudden could be in a lot better shape. Of course, they need to continue getting healthy and getting players on the field, but this pick just made a ton of sense for Ted Thompson.
All right, so Eric, I get back to Ray Farmer again now, who's sitting there at 26. Now, he's already got the cornerback in the bank. I'm not sure why he felt the need to make this move, because as you look at the Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Chargers who are in the middle, unless he thought the Bengals were going to take Manziel, but regardless, he didn't give up much to come back up to 22. I think the Eagles got caught napping. They didn't expect Cooks to be gone. They figure we'll add an extra pick. So, what happens? Well, the commissioner is back at the podium again.
The Philadelphia Eagles have traded the 22nd pick to the Cleveland Browns. With the 22nd pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Johnny Manziel, quarterback, Texas A&M.
Never in the history of the NFL College Draft, Eric, has a Cleveland Brown gotten more cheers and jeers than a Jet, an Eagle, or a Giant at the draft.
Oh, and the Browns win the Super Bowl. Everyone goes home happy. What a stunning moment. I mean, this made for me, I mean, just watching this whole thing unfold. And, you know, it was interesting to see how it all played out. The Vikings did try to get into that spot, but not for Manziel. They wanted to get Teddy Bridgewater. We'll obviously talk about him later. So there were multiple teams trying to move up into that spot, and you bring up an interesting point about Philadelphia. But I will make this note. The Chiefs were legit about considering a quarterback at number 23. They took a pass rusher, but they did consider it with Alex Smith's contract situation. So there was at least one team in range, plus the Bengals, that could have considered Manziel or Bridgewater at that point.
Well, I will say this. The Kansas City Chiefs still surprised everybody with what they thought, with what we thought they were going to do. It had to be a wide receiver, didn't it? Well, stay tuned for a minute because we're going to come back and talk about it. It, in fact, was not. Got themselves another pass rusher. Interesting pick. Welcome back to Pro Football Weekly. I am Hub Arkish along with Eric Edholm and Arthur Arkish. We are rolling through the first round of the 2014 NFL College Draft. Guys, they let it loose in Radio City Music Hall this past Thursday evening, the first round of the 2014 NFL College Draft. And at 23, now in most of the mocks that I saw, I kept seeing Odell Beckham Jr. with the Chiefs at 23. And then, as I said earlier in the show, the last few days before the draft, he just flew up the draft board. But there were still a ton of good wide receivers there. You talk about a team whose greatest need, Arthur, beyond anything else, was so obvious. And they were one of the best pass rushing teams in the league last year, but they decided that that D Ford, the kind of hybrid, possibly 40 front defensive end, or more likely an outside rush linebacker in their 3-4, D Ford was their guy.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see what Bob Sutton's going to do with D Ford. We know he's a super aggressive coordinator and loves to get the pressure coming from all different directions, so that's intriguing. But I think this is a little bit too much of a luxury. You still got Lee from USC on the board, some other good wide receivers. You mentioned the need there. I know that the Chiefs defense, ran out of steam a little bit at the end of last season. I know that Haleh and Houston's durability, became an issue and was a big part of that slide for them. But again, I think this may have been a little bit too much of a luxury pick with other bigger needs after kind of a tough offseason and having some depth issues.
Eric, we all have a couple teams that we target in these mocks getting ready where we really do get a good feel for it. We think we know what's going on. And for the last 6 weeks or so, there's only two players that I've had with the Cincinnati Bengals at number 24. Now, I somehow convinced myself that they were going to take Teddy Bridgewater. I really thought they were going to, but I knew if they didn't, it had to be Darqueze Dennard. He may be the second best corner in this draft. Now, the corners all came up a little higher than we thought they would, but this is a kid you got to love out of Michigan State, a cornerback who loves to stick his nose in.
Yeah, I'll admit, I didn't necessarily see the fourth and fifth best corners in a very top heavy position, in this draft, lasting until the 24th and 25th picks. I mean, I had a few scenarios where, both he and the next choice of the Chargers were going to be gone in this situation. So I think the Bengals did a pretty good job just by sitting back and letting the draft come to them. And, he fits them scheme wise and personality wise. Very confident kid. I think you've got some age there with Terrence Newman, Adam Jones. How long is he going to be in the picture there? So it was a need position for a team that didn't have any screaming needs. They just sat back and took a really good talent.
Well, and the reason that Gilbert and Fuller went first is they're both over 6 foot. Not much, but they're at least there. You look at Dennard is closer to 6 foot, and of course, even Calvin Pryor at safety, 5'10". At 25, the Chargers step up and take Jason Verrett, Arthur, and I've heard people say that he is the best cover corner in this group. But he's a little guy, and everybody wants big corners.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's definitely what's, in vogue around the league right now. But, in Verrett, they certainly got a tough kid, a confident kid, and a really good athlete. I think you can make an argument that the Chargers may have had the worst group of cornerbacks in football last season. They struck out on Derek Cox, unless you get excited about guys like Sharice Wright and Steve Williams, Richard Marshall. I know I don't get too excited. So I think this was a clear need for them in a division with Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, and these high-octane passing offenses. I think this was, the right move for them and probably pretty decent value in this spot.
Eric, we always have to be overly careful to be too critical of a draft pick when it's made, and we don't see these kids on the field, but we're now at 26, and this is where I continue to be convinced that the Philadelphia Eagles, as great a year as Chip Kelly had on the field, I'm not sure how ready he and Howie Roseman were for this. I think they got caught off guard not getting Brandon Cooks. It was fine to make the deal down, but if Juwan James was the first big surprise of the evening, Marcus Smith in the first round was my holy crap moment. What are they doing? I didn't have this kid in my top 100 players, and more importantly, I talked to a lot of NFL people. They didn't either. Now he's a Chip Kelly athlete. There's no question about that. But you talk about a reach. Marcus Smith at 26 out of Louisville was a shock.
It had Eagles fans, going back to 1997 and the John Harris pick that they still talk about these days. But for me, it wasn't that crazy a pick. I just worry about his base strength and his length. I mean, he's not a real long guy. So, okay, like you said, can he work laterally and upfield in that defense? Yes, he can. He's a hybrid player. They run a hybrid defense. Makes sense on that level. But I thought he was more in the second round range, had a nice Senior Bowl, very productive, a lot of sacks at Louisville. They're one of those front offices that looks at that production and thinks it's very important. They think sacks translate to the NFL, like the Ravens and a few other teams. So You know, it just fit what they look for, even if it wasn't a prototypical pick for a lot of people.
Arthur, I know this, and again, we all work the phones. Nobody saw four safeties going in the first round of this draft. Everybody was bemoaning the weakness at the position. Well, at 27, Deion Buchanan out of Washington State became the third safety off the board of the Arizona Cardinals, who had traded down to pick there.
This secondary, I'll tell you what, with the Honey Badger and now Deion Buchanan, you add Patrick Peterson and you got Cromartie, the athleticism is just staggering. I mean, Buchanan actually tested better than the safeties that went ahead of him in Pryor and Clinton Dix, and he's just an explosive playmaker. And like I said, a secondary that already has several of them, this Cardinals defense is really going to be a force to be reckoned with. I really like the move by Arizona, and Steve Kime, you move down, you pick up an extra pick, and you still get your guy in Buchanan.
All right, guys, there were still a few surprises left in the first round. We're going to take one more quick breather, and then we'll wrap it up right here on Pro Football Weekly. We continue to roll through the first round of the 2014 NFL College Draft here at Pro Football Weekly. And, Arthur, I thought stepping up at 28, if there was a predictable team in this draft, there was only two things the Carolina Panthers could do. It was going to be an offensive tackle or a wide receiver. I personally, for all their problems on the offensive line with Trevell Wharton gone and, of course, Jordan Gross is retired, they don't have a wide receiver who's caught a pass. I mean, they had to get one. And in Kelvin Benjamin, they may end up with the steal of this first round. Now, you know, his kid's got some issues, some question marks on the scouting report. But 6'5", 240, better functional football speed than stopwatch speed, an amazing athlete. Pretty good playmate for Cam Newton.
Yeah, no question. Benjamin with a ridiculously high ceiling. And Cam Newton, you know, the Panthers overall maybe haven't had the best offseason. Some surprising retirements along the offensive line won't help Newton. And then, you know, of course, the kind of ugly divorce from Steve Smith. So they needed to help Cam Newton. I think Kelvin Benjamin's going to do that. I think the one little knock on him perhaps is he's not the most mature kid. But I think, you know, landing in Carolina with Ron Rivera, a guy who's going to get him, you know, whipped into shape pretty quickly, should really be a fantastic fit. I like this move a lot as well.
All right, Eric, another surprise coming at 29. We shouldn't be surprised when Bill Belichick's involved. And, you know, actually, you can make an argument that Dominique Easley should have been a top 7 or top 8 pick in the NFL draft, except for one minor detail. Two seasons ago, he tore an ACL. And then last year came back and tore the other one. Belichick says, hey, he's a great football player. He is still sudden in spite of the injuries. And there's no question that if the knees are sound, this is a steal. But boy, you got to worry about a guy who's torn both ACLs.
No question. And he's a penetrator. That's what he is. He fits that Aaron Donald mold of the quick, undersized guy. But I'll tell you what shocked me the most. I sat next to him at the combine. He talked about his love for watching cartoons and claimed that he had never seen an NFL game from start to finish. He watched about two quarters of the Super Bowl before he got bored. I mean, does that sound like a Bill Belichick kind of guy to you? I don't know. So they're going to have to teach this kid how to watch tape, try to make sure he loves football. I mean, they've obviously interviewed him and talked to him enough and felt like he does, but that one caught me a little off guard, even though we'd heard Easley's name to the Patriots connected before the draft.
Yeah, I will agree with your point on that, but I will say that apparently this Super Bowl held his interest longer than it held mine, so at least I'll give him that one. But yeah, no, obviously a great point, and it's something the folks are talking about. Then we move to number 30, Arthur, and this again, this is a kid. I really like Jimmy Ward out of Northern Illinois, but you got some questions to answer. Number one, he just had foot surgery. He may not even be ready for training camp. Number two, this is a kid who went to the combine and benched 225 eight times. Now that's not acceptable for these guys who go to the combine. And there are questions about his coverage skill. I thought he'd be a really nice experiment in the third round for somebody. Well, Trent Baalke and Jim Harbaugh, and I don't second guess these guys because nobody's drafted better in recent years than Trent Baalke, but the 49ers felt he was a first round pick at number 30.
Yeah, you know, perhaps a bit of a reach, and I like Jimmy Ward as well. I like how he played his best against, you know, the better competition at Northern, and you know, he's a fiery guy and definitely will bring a physical presence to the defense despite not being super impressed with the, you know, his size and overall, you know, build and everything like that. But yeah, perhaps a little bit of a reach. However, we knew that the 49ers really needed to stabilize that secondary. A lot of turnover there. And then in Jimmy Ward, they will have the opportunity to maybe bring him along slowly. They did get Antoine Bethea and, of course, spent a first-round pick on Reed last year.
Right. So obviously they want their safeties matched up for the future. And I think Antoine Bethea is one of the most underrated players in the league. So they've got depth in an area that some people thought was bare. But, Eric, what surprised me so much about it is in most of my mocks, I had them taking Bradley Roby with a little bigger need at corner than safety. Roby was there, and when they passed him, the Denver Broncos took him with the very next pick.
Yeah, and Roby was not a player that I had heard connected with the Broncos. Apparently, they did not meet with him before the draft. I think it was one of those situations when the inside linebackers went flying off the board in the middle of round one. The Broncos just said, I think we're just going to sit back and take the best defensive player available. And in their eyes, that was Roby. And, you know, the character concerns have kind of cropped up recently. At the beginning of the season, there was suspension, a bar fight. You know, so there's some things they're going to have to sort through and make sure he's on the same page with the coaching staff. But talent-wise, I had him, you know, in my top 20. Love the ability. Gets turned around a little bit in coverage sometimes, but he's a competitor and just keeps adding to that defense that have made a lot of additions this offseason.
And then, Arthur, finally, at the end of the draft at 32, the Minnesota Vikings apparently have a habit. 2 years ago, they traded back into the end of the first round to get Harrison Smith, and I remember thinking, it's a bit of a reach, and of course, he had an all-rookie season. And then last year, after drafting Sharif Floyd and Xavier Rhodes, they again trade back up into the bottom of the round to get Cordarrelle Patterson. This year, well, they needed their quarterback, and they come back up at 32 and get Teddy Bridgewater.
And props to Rick Spielman for not getting gun-shy. He has not had a lot of success drafting quarterbacks, but he's got North Turner in place now. That's what makes me feel especially good about this pick. I think Teddy Bridgewater is a really good value here. Maybe he's not the, you know, the prototypical, you know, strong-armed quarterback in the North Turner system, but, you know, reportedly Turner loves him. The Vikings did very well to cross off two of their biggest needs, get it done both in the first round. I really think they did a nice job.
All right, gentlemen, one more quick break here. Publisher's Pen coming up. I've actually got to get away from the draft, talk about something Roger Goodell said just before the draft that really annoyed me.
Welcome back to Pro Football Weekly. Here's Hub Arcus with the Publisher's Pen.
You know, Arthur, certainly the focus this week on the NFL College Draft, and we all love the NFL College Draft. I know I do. But something had been happening leading up to the draft, and it was really highlighted earlier in the evening prior to the first round kicking off, where Roger Goodell, it's almost like a politician out making stump speeches, was out making his case for expanding the playoffs by two more teams. Now, I hate the idea. I don't want any part of it. I've accepted that it's probably going to happen. But you know what? Don't lie to me. And Roger Goodell either doesn't know football very well, or he's just lying to get what he wants, because his case is that those 13th and 14th teams are really good football teams, and who knows what could happen, and they deserve to be in the playoffs. Those are 500 football teams. Those are teams that can't win more games than they lose. And yeah, sure, something weird could happen, but it doesn't change the fact that they didn't earn the right to be in the playoffs. They are not good football teams. In normal circumstances, they shouldn't be competitive with the first and second and third seeds. What makes the NFL playoffs so special is that, unlike all the other major sports, only 12 of the 32 teams get a crack. Don't dilute it. Don't take away what makes it so great. I know you're going to, but if you're going to do it, don't lie to me about the reason. That'll do it for this week's edition of Pro Football Weekly. Our thanks, as always, to Randy Meyer, outstanding engineer and producer, as well as Syndication Networks, our home studio and syndicator. And, of course, most of all of you for listening. We do appreciate it. We hope you'll join us again next week, same time, same station, for Pro Football Weekly.